Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Baladevadas Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 4.15.1 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your very valuable time and association to us, Prabhuji, this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I will now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 15th Chapter, Text Number 1. Maitreya Vacha. Atha tasya punar viprayer aputrasya mahipate bahubhyam matyamanabhyam mithunam samapadyata. Translation. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, thus, the Brahmanas and the great sages again churned the two arms of King Vena's dead body. As a result, a male and a female couple came out of his arms. This verse has no translation, no purport, so we go to the next one. Text number 2. Tad drishtva mitunam jatam rishayo brahma vadina. Uchu Parama Santushta Viditva Bhagavat Kalam. Translation. The great sages were highly learned in Vedic knowledge. When they saw the male and female born of the arms of Vena's body, they were very pleased, for they could understand that the couple was an expansion of a plenary portion of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The method adapted by the great sages and scholars who were learned in Vedic knowledge was perfect. They removed all the reactions of King Vena's sinful activities by seeing that King Vena first gave birth to Bahuka, described in the previous chapter. After King Vena's body was thus purified, a male and female came out of it. And the great sages could understand that this was an expansion of Lord Vishnu. This expansion, of course, was not Vishnu Tattva, but a specifically empowered expansion of Lord Vishnu, known as Avesha. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Asyatya Desha Tarine वाञ्छाकल्पतरूपेश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So welcome all devotees for this conference Bhagavatam class. I'm thankful to everyone for giving this opportunity to be with, to be associating with all of you. Today is a very special verse. It's a very joyful occasion because in today's verse, Lord has appeared. Pritu Maharaj along with Archi Devi, they have appeared. This last week, we remember, we celebrated the appearance of Lord Narsingadev. So with the appearance of Lord Narsingadev, all the voices are killed. Hiranyakashipu is killed. The world is more peaceful. The world is happy. So the incarnation of the Lord comes in for a particular purpose. There is a reason for it. In the Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, Krishna himself comes. Why does he descend? There is a reason for his coming down. Avatar, incarnation. And he mentions these two beautiful verses. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So, primarily Krishna gives three reasons for his appearance in the Bhagavad Gita: to annihilate the miscreants, to deliver the pious devotees, and to re-establish the religious code. These are the primary reasons for Lord's appearance. So Pritu Maharaj has also appeared for primarily this reason. And we can see here that the great sages and the Brahmanas who have invoked Pritu Maharaj from the body of King Vena, they are very much pleased at the onset that Pritu Maharaj has appeared. So when the Lord comes, all auspiciousness is created. It is mentioned in the Ramayana, in the Bhagavat. When Krishna appeared or when Lord Ram appeared, all auspiciousness were there everywhere. There were good signs. And similarly, it's mentioned in Bhagavatam and Ramayana, there were Ravan, Kumbhakaran, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu. There were inauspicious evil omens everywhere. So all the great sages and brahmanas are here very happy that now good things are going to happen soon because the advent of the Lord is Avesh, is Saktavesh Avatar, Pritu Maharaj has come into being. One very important point we'd like to highlight today is this. The brahmanas and the great sages during the time of Pritu Maharaj were so powerful that they had the power through chanting of mantras, killed the demonic King Vena. They went and advised King Vena of how he should rule the kingdom, how he should be compassionate, merciful. But when King Vena did not pay heed to the advice, then it was the duty of the sages and brahmanas on behalf of the kingdom that they should put a good king on the throne. And when King Vena was actually not just paying heed but going against the will of the Lord, they chanted powerful mantras. And just by chanting a mantra, they killed such a powerful demonic king, King Vena. So that was the power of Brahmana at that time. So there was one power they exhibited, and now the next power. One is chanting of mantra, and now we see here, they are churning the body. We have heard about churning of curd into butter, but never heard about churning a body, right? Now here is subtle science which the great sages and brahmanas knew: churning of a body, churning of a dead body. So they churned the dead body. Of course, the churning was not like a mechanical with a lot of tools, not kind of churning. The churning was in a subtle way with meditation, deep meditation, and churning the consciousness, the elements of the body. So the body was intact, but churning was creating the inner churning, and that inner churning got out first, Bahuka. So all that was bad in the life or the body of King Vena came out as Bahuka, who then was sent to rule a particular province in this world. But later, after Bahuka was removed, what remained was all auspiciousness, all good. Because everyone in this world, they are not always all bad. There is always some good element in everyone. It's a mix of just the proportion, the percentage may be different. So even though King Vena was a demonic king, there was something good in him also. Good in him in sense of his some qualities, also maybe because of his connection with his father, a pure devotee, King Anga Maharaj, who was coming in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. So there was something genetically, hereditary also good in King Vena. So when then, after Bahuka came out, there was churning done again. Then, from that churning, King Prithu and his good wife Alchi came out. So we see here that how Brahmanas during those days were so powerful. Of course, now we are in Kali Yuga. Or in Kali Yuga, we see that Brahmanas are just for the namesake. Just wearing a two-paise thread, as Prabhupada would say. Now, two-paise thread is not there. Maybe a little more costly, but still wearing a thread. But there is no qualities of Brahmanas, no, not even work of a Brahmana exhibited, just the namesake. So Prabhupada said, Krishna has asserted in the Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, everyone is a born Shudra. Janma Jayati Shudra. Janmana Jayati Shudra. It is only after that we undergo purificatory rituals, samskaras, bhavet dvija. Then we become Brahmana by showing our qualities of a Brahmana. So today's Brahmanas are just for the namesake. Just because they are born in a particular lineage, we call ourselves as Brahmana. But actually, to ensure that we are Brahmana, we need to not just show qualities, but also have powers like Brahmana, which these Brahmanas and great sages are showing here. They could churn the body of King Vena and get out Lord Prithu Maharaj coming out of it. One time, Visvanatha Jayapataka Maharaj, many, many years ago, was traveling on South India tour. So they visited many, many temples. So in one such temple they went, so old temple, old Pujari was worshipping the deities there. And the old Pujari was saw that Jayapataka Maharaj is a foreign national. So he was very intrigued because he saw a foreign national, but in a saffron-clad sannyasi, a sadhu with disciples around him and coming to visit the temple. So he started talking to Maharaj, and due course of time came to know that Maharaj is from USA. So he asked Maharaj that, is there any scope? I have a son, and I want to see that he becomes very highly educated and very prosperous, advanced. Can you help my son to reach America? So Jayapataka Maharaj asked him that, why do you want to send your son to America? After you, who will worship this deity, this beautiful deity? Age-old deities are there. You are old also now, getting old. So he said, no worry, because one son I'll send to America, the other son I'll keep him here. So Maharaj asked, which son you want to send to America? He said, oh, I want to send the most intelligent son of mine, who's very intelligent, I'll send him to America. And what about the other son? The other son, he's not very intelligent, he can't do much. So let him do some puja. So even a person who is a Brahmana worshipping a deity, an age-old deity in a temple in South India, he wants the best of his life to be given for economic development to send to America. But when it comes to worshipping Krishna, Lord Narayan, then he's thinking, okay, whatever is like my son who could not do much, let him stay back and he can worship the deities. So if that is the case in our life, if we always view the remaining or not the priority to Krishna, what happens? Then we always end up having a very wishy-washy sadhana, wishy-washy puja, not much of a serious spiritual life. So this kind of Brahmana or Brahmanical culture is pervading today in Kali Yuga. But here it is completely different. Here we have Brahmanas who are not just Brahmanas for namesake, but they also have power. And they are showing their power, not power where it is not needed, when it is needed, there is tatkal, there is emergency, when there is no king, the great sages come together and they elect a king. And herein there was no king, so they churned the body of the previous king. And from that, they got the body of Prithu Maharaj and Archi. So today, this verse also speaks about churning. So I was just thinking that in Shastra, we have been hearing about churning. This word churning has come in many, many times, many, many places. One prominent churning thing which I remember is the churning of the ocean of milk, right? Also called as Samudra Manthan. So Bhagavata mentions that when the demons were getting powerful and the demigods, the devatas, they also wanted help. They approached Lord Narayan. Lord Vishnu told them that we should have a truce with the demons. And together you come and you churn the ocean of milk, because the demons, they also want Amrita, nectar. And demigods also want Amrita, nectar. So between you, both of you come together and churn the ocean of milk. So there was this mighty churning of the ocean of milk with the help of Mount Sumeru. And Mount Sumeru was as the churning rod, with snake Vasuki as the churning rope. One side demons, one side demigods, and churning took place. When the churning took place, what came out first? Was it nectar? No. The first thing which came out was poison, halahal vish. And here also we see that the first thing which came out of churning of the body of King Vena was something which was not wanted, inauspicious, and that was Bahuka. But the great sages continued to churn. The great sages were not disappointed. Oh, we churned, and then what comes out? This is such an inauspicious person. What should be done? Let's stop the churning. No. So Bahuka was created, but they kept churning. Of course, in Bhagavatam, it is not mentioned how long they churned. But churning definitely is not a small time engagement. It requires a lot of patience. They churned, and eventually, out of the churning, came Prithu Maharaj. So this is one churning we hear about in the Shastra. So in that churning, first halal wish came, and later, all good things started coming out. Horse, cow, different kinds of costly pearls. And then Airavat came out. Lakshmi Devi, she came out. And finally, then Dhanvantri came out with a pot of nectar. Apart from this churning which we have heard in Shastra, there is another churning, which is a churning by Mother Yashoda on the day of Deepavali, Diwali, Kartik Mas. And on that Diwali day, Mother Yashoda was also churning the milk, churning the curd to get butter for Krishna. Why? Because she was thinking a day before that my child is a child, is a son of Nanda Maharaj, who is the ruler of Vrindavan, Brajesha. He's a Brajesha, his son. And yet this boy goes out and steals butter, steals curd in others' houses. Maybe he's not happy with the quality of butter and the milk products available in my house. Maybe because the reason may be that many times my helpers in the kitchen, they churn the butter. So why not if I churn butter for him personally with my hands, with good quality of milk, then maybe he will not go out to steal. He will remain at home and take whatever quantity of fresh and good quality of butter I provide him. So with that idea, the next day in Deepavali, it is mentioned Yashoda Rani, she told all helpers that today is Diwali, you go out and have functions at your home. Don't worry about any household work. I will take care of it. And early morning, just so that she is not kind of interference from Lord Krishna, she decided to churn in the early morning hours when Krishna is sleeping. So then she starts churning. And because she's churning, natural activity for Mother Yashoda is to think about Krishna and sing about Krishna. So that whole churning pastime is given, and then the whole churning pastime led to beautiful episodes of Krishna coming, and then the whole episode of the milk boiling over, Yashoda running to remove the milk, Krishna becoming angry, and the churning with the rod, he breaks the whole churning pot, and he runs and feeds monkey with the butter, and then later Yashoda becomes angry and she comes running, and she ties Krishna with a rope, not just one rope, many ropes, hundreds and hundreds of ropes, a village of ropes, quantity of ropes, and then she ties because Krishna is actually concerned, Mother Yashoda is laboring so much. So Krishna gets tied, Vatsalya Prem. And then the Narakuvera Manigeva episode takes place. So this all happened by churning story. So there's another churning story here, Mother Yashoda's churning. Now, I would like to highlight that in our life also, we are doing churning every day, right? Chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, japa, is also called churning of the heart. I'm not sure if any of you have ever done churning in your life, the traditional method. The new age method is just put some butter or something in the mixer and just grind it full speed, and then you get some buttermilk and whatever it may be. But the age old method is a traditional method using a churning rod. This is also called as Ravi. And you churn it, and it's like a both way motion, clockwise and anti-clockwise, clockwise and anti-clockwise, and keep doing for a long time. I had an experience once that in the temple here which I stay in, we do it often on festival days, that we decided to come together, and we bring pots and pots of curd and we churn it. So initially initially I remember the first time I ever did that, it was like a very exciting thing. Oh, let's churn butter. Yashoda mother Yashoda churned butter for Krishna. So let's churn ourselves also for Krishna. So we began, you know, like around 7 o'clock in the morning, I began churning and kept on churning. And all I could see was nothing happening, you know, where is the butter coming out? Only curd is there, the water is separating. And 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 3 hours passed by. And all I was doing was moving my hands in clockwise direction, anti-clockwise direction. Now her hand was aching, I was thinking, what's going to happen? Is my butter going to come out, or is it going to frustration? What is this all about? And then I saw that, you know, the patience was going down. Then one devotee who had done churning, he told me, Prabhuji, keep doing it. You're almost reaching that place. Keep going. I said, but nothing is happening. When I see the pot, there's nothing much butter is coming out, you know. It's only that same curd which I was churning, maybe some water has come out, that's the only thing. Only water I can see. I can't see butter. He told me that, well, churning is like chanting the holy name. When you chant the holy name, initially it goes on for years and years. You're chanting every day. And it looks like nothing much is happening. All you can see is impure things coming out. You're chanting and lust, anger, greed, all those negative thoughts are coming. So churning the curd is also similar. You churn and only thing which you can see is just water, nothing much is there. Butter you can't see at all. Krishna pray, nothing is seen, you know. But keep churning. So keep churning with the advice of this advanced butter churner, right? So he was giving me advice and I kept on churning. Exactly at 10:45, I did just one clockwise, I turned the rod, and immediately I saw one popping of butter came out. Like one chunk of butter came out. Then again I did the second, then another chunk came out. And within 20 minutes, I could find with every movement I was doing, butter only are coming out. So 10:45 it happened so, and then by 11 o'clock, I could see the whole top layer was full of butter and butter and butter. And the devotee said, yeah, you see, it churned so much. And then when the result comes out, it comes out very fast. He said, you churn for 5-10 minutes more, you get more butter. All the butter will come out. And all you see will be water. That will be buttermilk. And the rest will be butter. So I kept churning for the next 15 minutes. And then beautiful butter came out. Bought the butter out, and the butter was offered to Krishna. So chanting is also like churning the heart. So we chant, nothing much is happening. But all the great Vaishnava Acharyas or the great chanters are reassuring us. Keep chanting. And we say, how many years? It's like, keep on chanting. There are impurities in our heart for millions of lifetimes. So keep chanting. At least one lifetime we are dedicated to chanting. and then it will work. It will come. Like Srila Prabhupada was once asked by one of his disciples, a new devotee maybe, the way he asked question, Srila Prabhupada was showing that how he boldly asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, how much time it took for you to perfect your chanting? Now, Prabhupada is a pure devotee. It's an Nitya Siddha, but he is asking the question, how much time you took to perfect your chanting? Srila Prabhupada just smiled and said, it took 40 years for me to perfect my chanting. So Janani Vasudeva was mentioning while speaking the story, Janani Vasudeva from Mayapur, Prabhupada's ISKCON Mayapur Sai Pujari. He was mentioning that even if you take it literally, that Prabhupada meant 40 years, which means if Prabhupada took 40 years to perfect his chanting, at least we will take 40 years. We won't be before that. Why? Because Prabhupada took 40 years. Just imagine all those 40 plus years which may take for our chanting. It's all about what? Just churning and churning and no result coming out. Only thing is what are saying. Some impurities are coming out, just like Prabhupada also mentioned. When you're chanting, you're like a broom in the room. And we broom the room, what comes out? Only dust. That which has settled in the room, that comes out. And you feel, why did I dust? Why did I broom? Before brooming, it looked all better, very good. You know, some dust was there on the floor. But now when I'm dusting, I'm brooming, the dust is everywhere in the room. So better I should have not broomed. No, you keep brooming, keep brooming. And keep brooming, the room will be clean and you can stay in the room very nicely. So churning the ocean, churning the heart, the chanting of the holy name is a similar process. We churn and churn, and eventually when time comes, the 10:45 a.m. happens, then eventually you find everything coming out. There is nishtha, there is ruchi, there is asakti, there is bhav, and there is prem. All comes out very fast. But in that time is another 10 every day. We have to keep on, we have to keep on churning and churning and churning. Also, example, if you was given that of, you know, like when butter comes out, you want to make butter, and you want to heat the butter and get ghee out of the butter. When the butter is heated, what happens? When the butter heats, first thing which comes out of butter is a black substance, the impurity. But you keep heating the butter, keep heating the butter, and remove the black thing out, remove the black thing out. All that remains after heating the butter for a prolonged time is golden colored ghee. So this is the churning and heating process even in chanting of the holy names. So that is one thought which came in my mind when I heard about churning, churning the body of King Vena. And churning the body of King Vena, the first thing which came out was an auspicious thing, in a form of Bahuka. Regarding Prithu Maharaj, today in this verse, Srila Prithu Maharaj is appearing. It is mentioned in the remaining verses as we go ahead. There, when Prithu Maharaj appeared, all the universe, all over the universe, there was a celebration that Krishna's Avesh, Shaktyavesh avatar has appeared on the earth planet to take care of the kingdom, take care of the subjects, take care of the entire creation. So it is mentioned when the Prithu Maharaj's coronation was taking place, all the great devatas, all great gods came together and honored Prithu Maharaj with some gifts. It is mentioned Lord Brahma came, then Indra came, Chandra came, Vayu came, Lord Vishnu came, Lord Shiva came, Parvati came. They all came and gave some gifts. And all the great Brahmanas who were there in that court, in the coronation, they were singing glories of Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj, you will be like this. Prithu Maharaj, you are like this. Prithu Maharaj, you are like that. So Prithu Maharaj, when he received those gifts, he was very much humbled. He appreciated those gifts, accepted it out of gratitude. But when the praises were coming out, he heard all the praises. And after all the praises, then when time came for him to speak, he said that you are glorifying me for my qualities, which I am going to show in the future. But I have not shown all those qualities so far, so I don't deserve that glorification. When I do all the good work which you have talked about, then you may glorify me. But why glorify me now when I have not done even one iota of things? So the reciters, they mentioned that you are a qualified person. Therefore, even though we are glorifying you now, when you seem to have not done anything, you are accepting it as our mercy, but you are also admitting that you haven't done those things. That's your humility. Elsewhere, we find this world, people always want to accept name and fame, credit. We always in this material world are geared for doing things, expecting some credit coming out of it. If we cook nice prasadam, we expect everyone to glorify the prasad. If we do nice deity worship, we expect everyone to glorify, click photos, put it on their profiles. We give a nice lecture, we expect devotees to clap, appreciate this lecture. So whatever devotional service we do, we appreciate, we expect some glorification, some credits. But Putu Maharaj is showing here that he is not expecting any credit. He wants to do service, and service itself is a reward. Service is not something which will give us reward later in some other form. Service itself is a reward. So when we do nice service, what happens? Without any expectation, our service gives rise to more opportunity to serve. That's the reward. But when we do service with expectation that this service will give me this, will give me that, all that we get from the service, apart from our purification, also is pride. Ahankar grows up, false ego becomes very strong. So like Putu Maharaj was a very humble person, even though he was glorified, which was due, still he told that, no, I don't deserve that glorification. That shows the humility of such a great personality like Prithu. Also, in future, we will hear about Prithu Maharaj being humbled, getting humbled when there was a disagreement between two parties. Both of them were devotees. Prithu Maharaj is playing the role of a devotee of Lord Narayan, and on the advice of Brahmaji, he conducts yagyas. And he finishes almost 99 and 100 yagyas pending. And that is precisely the time that Indra, who also has 100 yagya and has got the post of Indra, becomes very unhappy. He becomes very much concerned that maybe Prithu Maharaj is competing with me. So Indra comes in disguised way and steals the horse of the yagya. So we can see that Indra is trying his best to not allow Prithu to do the 100 yagya. And Prithu is also trying his best. His son is also there involved and they are trying to fight with Indra for his treacherous activities. But later it is seen that Lord Narayan comes and Brahmaji advises, along with Lord Narayan, advises Prithu Maharaj that you are a very intelligent devotee. For you, if you do 99 or do 100, doesn't make a difference. But for Indra, it makes a difference if someone does 100 yagya apart from him. So why don't you agree and you decide not to do the 100 yagya? So the problem was, in this case, Indra was at fault. But the great lords, actually, they advised Prithu Maharaj, who was not at fault, that you should humble yourself and not that Indra should humble himself. And Prithu Maharaj very readily agreed to be humbled. And he did not do his 100 yagya. And the result was, when Indra came to know that Prithu Maharaj agreed to not do 100 yagya, he became himself humbled. And he came down, offered obeisance to Prithu Maharaj and said, don't take me wrong, but I was completely enamored and carried away thinking that you're trying to assert my kingdom. And the end result of this two clash between great devotees came out to be so good that we found that clash of two great devotees in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam teaching us. The two devotees have loggerheads, one of them should be humbled down. And then only it can solve the problem. Not that everyone starts saying that I am the best, I know this, and you are wrong. Nothing happens, the problem actually increases. Prithu Maharaj showed that actually in his case, the most advanced devotee should humble down. Prithu Maharaj was very advanced compared to King Indra. So he humbled, he stepped down. And that resulted in Lord Narayan becoming very happy with Prithu Maharaj and bestowing more and more mercy. So this is a wonderful example here that Indra, he made a mistake. That's okay. But Prithu Maharaj did not make the same mistake. When good advice was given to him, Prithu Maharaj also agreed that he needs to step down and stop the yagya. So one thing I was trying to get a similarity between the episode of Prithu Maharaj and the recently occurred festival of Narsingh Chaturdashi. We find here that in whether it's Ramayana or Narsingha Leela, or also here in this case of Prithu Maharaj Leela, we can find one thing here, Prithu Maharaj accepted good advice. On the other hand, in Narasimha Leela, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Hiranyakashipu was given good advice by Prahlad Maharaj, but he did not took the advice. Then Ravana in Rama Leela was given good advice of Vibhishan, but they did not take the good advice. In the case of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, both of them got advice from their own relatives, their own friends, their own son, their own brother, but they did not take the good advice because they are puffed up with ego of being superior, a great personality, a powerful fighter, a ruler, and that ego caused them not to take good advice coming out from any place. And because they did not take good advice, still a fag end of their life, as a result of which they had to the end was very, very disastrous. Ravana had to die, Hiranyakashipu had to die. In the case of Prithu Maharaj, he always took good advice. He took good advice of great brahmanas and great sages. And we can see as we move on discussing about Prithu Maharaj, every time he takes some decision in his life, he is always guided by great brahmanas and great rishis. So this is a wonderful example for all devotees in Krishna consciousness to learn from the life of Prithu Maharaj, that Prithu Maharaj always, even though he was Shakti Avesh Avatar, he took good advice. So he always had an advisory board of devotees around him who gave him good advice. Similarly, in our life, for our journey to be successful, the chanting, the journey of the heart to be successful, we need regular good advice of great devotees around us who will not only advise us but also encourage us to be patient, to be enthusiastic, utsaha, nishaya, dhairyat. To be patient in our Krishna consciousness. That success is guaranteed in Krishna consciousness. All is that is needed is we need to be patient. Patience in Krishna consciousness and keep on doing what we are doing on a regular basis, enthusiastically. And soon or later, all the butter, the mercy of Krishna will be manifesting in our heart. And for us, the same chanting, which is so difficult now, so difficult, the same chanting will become very blissful. It will be like Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami mentions in his Padyavali that, oh Lord, your names Krishna and Ram are so sweet, but you have given me only one tongue to chant those names. And only 2 years to hear those names. Why can't you give millions of tongues to chant more and millions of ears to hear more? That kind of relation is very difficult in sadhana bhakti stage. But if the churning continues under the direction of great devotees, Vaishnavas around us, soon that works will be reality in our life. With these few words, I end my presentation here. Thank you so much for your patient listening. Hare Krishna. Any comments or any questions at this time?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept humble obeisance. It was such a beautiful class. So many aspects of churning and connecting it to our chanting and the churning of the milk ocean. Lot of realizations, Prabhu. Such a beautiful, beautiful class. Thank you so much for coming this morning and giving us this good nectar, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for giving us this churning of chanting. So then we should just go on. At least I should just go on chanting and chanting. Doesn't matter what happens. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class and telling about the churning not mechanically but churning into the heart, cleaning ourselves in the heart. And also you are talking about the auspicious moments when Lord appears and when the demons appears, the inauspicious moment. Everything in the class was so beautiful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions or realizations? Okay, if there are no more questions and realizations, let us offer our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Thank you so much once again, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. And thank you so much for your time and valuable association. Okay, if there are no more questions and realizations. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, did you say something?
Thank you so much.